Turn your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah, chapter 6. This is, I suppose, one of my favorite scriptures. Isaiah, a great, great prophet, I guess you could call him a thundering prophet in a way. But in the 6th chapter of Isaiah, we have a vision that Isaiah had. And I've read some different things about, supposedly, this Isaiah. And I don't know, I'm not a theologian, and I'm not very learned in any of the things, but I just believe Isaiah wrote all 66 chapters myself. I don't believe there's a third one. It might be, I don't know. But I do know one thing. It's only in the 6th chapter that Isaiah has a vision of God. And I think that's what America needs today, is a vision of God. And so I wanted to share with you something from that chapter. And if you'll stand with me in honor of the Word of God, I'd like to begin reading in verse 1. And I'll read quickly, and we'll read all 13 verses. The Bible said in Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 1, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphim, each one had 6 wings, and with twain he covered his face. With twain he covered his feet, with twain he did fly. One cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. And also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. And he said, Go and tell this people, Hear ye indeed, but understand not, see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert, and be healed. Then said I, Lord, how long? And he answered, Until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate, and the Lord have removed men far away, and there be a great forsaken in the midst of the land. But yet in it shall be a tenth, and it shall return, shall be eaten as a teal tree, and as an oak, whose substance is in them, when they cast their leaves. So the holy seed shall be the substance thereof. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that it is eternal. Thank you that it is inspired, and that we have the pure word of God today. And I pray, God, that you'd make it real to my heart and to this congregation tonight. And I pray you'd accomplish your will in each of our lives through it. I pray you'd set a guard on these lips of clay, that I'd speak only those things that you'd have me to speak, and be beneficial to this congregation, be a blessing to them, to this pastor. I pray, God, that it be glorifying and honoring to you, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. May have your seats. We think about these verses tonight, and if I could give you just a division of the verses. First of all, we think about missions, and I do want to apply it to missions tonight. First of all, there'd be preparation, be the first division. And secondly, it would be the participation, and then thirdly, persistence. And I didn't have time to talk with you, Pastor, about your missions program, but I did when we came in. I noticed such a beautiful building. I noticed you have a Christian school, and I'm all for that, and I praise God for it. And I just feel like you're a mission. I feel tonight comfortable. So I believe you love missionaries. I believe you love missions. But tonight, I think America as a whole, and I think most of our churches can fit into what I'm going to say in some way or other. Tonight, as we look about the world and we think about Mount Pisgah has the ability to print 15 whole Bibles a minute. We are told tonight that there are over 3,000 languages in our world that have never had a translator, never had anyone to go and give them the Word of God, learn their guttural sounds, give them an alphabet, put together vocabulary, and even give them Bible lessons, much less do a translation. 3,000 languages had never heard about Jesus. We're told tonight that 73% of the world's population of 6.5 billion people have never one time heard a clear presentation of how to be born again, how to go to heaven. Now, that being the case, how many of you believe that Jesus could come tonight? You see, there's not anything on the time calendar that has to be done before Jesus could come again. His coming is what we call imminent, at any moment. Am I right? Peter, preaching on the day of Pentecost, made the statement, in these last days, talking about the prophecy of Joel, and he used the phrase, in these last days. If it was last days at Pentecost, how many more last days do we have? Now, if you read your Bible and I read my Bible, we learn that God has blinded the Jew. Paul uses the phrase, cut off the true olive branch and grafted in a wild olive branch, which is the Gentiles. And he's called out the Gentile nations, a bride, a church. And that's you and me. How many Jews in the congregation tonight? Full-blooded Jews. Anybody? We're all Gentiles, aren't we? We were a people without hope, without a covenant, without a promise, without a Savior. But God so loved us that He gave Jesus to die on Calvary that we might be born again, might have an inheritance eternal in the heavens in Christ Jesus, that He might redeem us unto Himself and make of us a peculiar people for Him. I don't know about you, but that thrills my soul. To think that God would so love me. Now, we know that if He cut off the true olive branch and grafted in the wild olive branch, Paul said, how much sooner then would He cut off the wild olive branch and graft back in the true olive branch? So we know that the Gentiles have got a time fixed that's the fulfillment of the Gentile times. When the times of the Gentiles are full, God's going to turn back to Israel. How long do we have to reach the Gentile world? Now, in the Great Commission, He said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, Mark chapter 16, verse 15. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, Mark 16, 15. And in Matthew 28, He said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. We have a commission to get the gospel to the ends of the earth. We have a commission to reach our generation with the gospel, to make sure that they hear the gospel and they have an opportunity to be saved. Now, I'm not good in math. I wasn't good in English at all. I wasn't that good in math. But if 73% of the population have never one time heard a clear presentation of the gospel, it would seem to me like we're not getting the job done. Would you say that would be true? I got a few nods on that one. It isn't easy to condemn ourselves, is it? It isn't easy to criticize that we're not doing a good job. I don't know about you, but I like to do a good job, don't you? Yeah. I like to think I'm doing a good job. But then sometime when I'm building something and I get back and look at it, I say, boy, that, let's leave that alone. All right. But what I'm saying is, when I come to the book of Isaiah, chapter 6, and I read what happened to Isaiah, I see something that is lacking in our churches and in our nation as a whole. In most of the churches that we go into, we're lacking, I see a lack of a vision of a holy God. In most churches today, in our area, and in most of those that Bobby and I are in, there are a few people that seem like they have a vision of God, because to them He is God. But it seems like to the majority of people today in America, God is like a hippie I picked up back in the 70s when I was at Temple. A hippie was hitchhiking, and of course in evangelism class, I just left evangelism class, last class of the day. I walk out of that class, feel like I could get the world by the tail and drag them all to Jesus. And I picked up this hippie. And he got in, so I told him who I was, and he told me who he was. And I said, can I ask you a personal question? He said, yes. I said, have you ever received the Lord Jesus Christ, your personal Savior? He said, oh, J.C. Yeah, I know J.C. I said, no, you missed what I said. He isn't J.C. He is Jesus Christ, the Lord. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But to most people today, it's a casual acquaintance with God. And God to them is not a holy God. He's a grandfather sitting up there that's not going to scold anybody, but just loves everybody. Willing to accept anything. You can stomp on his toes. You can slap him in the face. And you can ridicule and mock and do anything you want to do. And it's all right with him. No, God is holy. You see, in America today, we need to come to the place that we have a reverence for God. Isaiah, after his vision, had a reverence for God that he had not had before. And I think our churches today need a vision of a holy God. We need to see God on the throne. God, who is above all. God of God. King of kings and Lord of all. A holy God that the posts of the door moved of the temple when the seraphim cried out, holy, holy, holy. He is holy. He is almighty. We have such a God that if we could ever get the vision Isaiah did, we would tremble as Isaiah did. We need to tremble at the presence of God. If we could come to the place that we trembled at the presence of God, if we were afraid of offending God, then we could accomplish some of the things that need to be accomplished in our world today. We need a vision of a holy God. I want to ask you tonight, is God holy to you? Is He holy, holy, holy in your eyes? Do you reverence God? Do you fear God? Is there any fear of God before your eyes tonight? Well, the problem with Israel was they lost their fear of God. They had no fear of God. And America's coming to the place we have no fear of God. So we need to fear God. We need to have a vision of God. Now, I said, in order to reach the world, this world is about us. I don't know about you, but let's think about it just a moment. We think about a world that's got 6.5 billion people, 73% of which have never one time heard a clear presentation of the gospel. Now, I cannot do mathematical figures that quickly. And all I can say is that's a whole lot of people for us to reach. Wouldn't you say so? So I think I'm safe in saying there's never been a time in church history. There has never been a time in church history when the church had so many people around them that were lost and on their way to hell that they could witness to. They've never had an opportunity to win so many lost people as we have today. And there's so many avenues of opportunity. I mean, we've got the internet, we've got the television, we've got cassette players, we've got if you have four-wheelers in your yard or basement, or not gonna admit it, huh? Four-wheelers, two-wheelers, four-wheel drive vehicles, airplanes, boats, motor boats. I mean, you name it, and we've got it, haven't we? We've got printing presses, can print 15 Bibles a minute. Presses that, I was just recently out in Illinois with a pastor out there that prints tracts. He had a little web press, that thing just sitting there clicking. 80, 90, 100,000 tracts in one day he's printing in the Egyptian language, in the Indian language. And all of these, and we've got all of these. And beside that, they have developed a cardboard record player. Any of you ever seen a cardboard record player? I've got one at home. You have? You have one. Okay, she knows what I'm talking about. It's a threefold. You got three sides to it. And one place you put the wrecker, and the other side has a needle that drops down on it, and you sit there and turn that thing. You can turn it with a stick or a pencil or whatever. And it has a gospel of salvation, has a message of salvation. You can get it in, I forget how many languages. We get a huge number of languages. You get that tape in. Just the gospel message of the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't have to have a battery. They don't have to have anything. Just that cardboard thing and take a stick and listen to it over and over and over. God help us not to reach a world that's dying without Jesus. We've got everything at our fingertips today that God wants us to have and that we need to reach the world. I don't think He'd ask you to do something we couldn't do, do you? It's preparation. In order to do it, we've got to make some preparations. That is, put God first in our lives. Get our hearts right with God. Get a vision of God. He's holy God. He's worthy to be worshipped. He's worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be obeyed. And where do you want me? Participation. Lord, here am I, send me. Where do you want me? In Georgia, and I know it isn't that way in Florida. In Georgia, you can go into churches, you know, and there'd be, well, you know it isn't that way here because they're not here. There'd be five or six preacher boards down in the front. And you get started preaching, and of course, they call me a teacher preacher because when they preach, they pull their coat off. Throw it on a chair, you know. And they'll swing from a ladder to it and run and slide a few times. And these preacher boys down in front are whoop, yeah, yeah, whoop, no, whoop, glory to God, hallelujah, amen, whoop, get it. You know? But they won't go anywhere. You see, you can tell them their town's in Mexico, 50,000 people, and they need somebody to tell them about Jesus. And they won't look at you. Lord, where do you want me? Participation. Where do you want me? Have you asked God where He wants you? Have you said, Lord, here am I, send me. Would you volunteer? God still accepts volunteers. Lord, here am I, send me. I want to get involved. I want to do something. I mean, when we look at so much to do and so few involved, I mean, surely there's a desire. Lord, I want to tell somebody. I want to do something. I want to get my end of the log. I want to lift my weight. I want to carry my weight. When Isaiah saw himself as a sinner, and then when he realized that God had touched him and he was given the message that this has cleansed your lips and you're clean, it's purged, and now you're clean. See, when we get born again, when a person gets born again, and the Holy Spirit of God comes in to dwell, I believe sooner or later it's going to come out. Somewhere along the way, God the Holy Spirit is going to blurt out, do you know for sure you're going to heaven? Wouldn't you like to come to church with me Sunday? Have you ever been born again? Anyone ever tell you that Jesus died on the cross for sinners? I mean, you know, I love God. I mean, it's going to come out. Sooner or later, God's going to burden you for a soul. God's going to trouble you for somebody that's on their way to hell. God is going to move you to look at those around you and say, Lord, they need somebody to tell them about Jesus. And you say, Lord, here am I. Send me. Send me to Mexico. Send me to Timbuktu. Or send me wherever you want me. But Lord, use me. Participation. Three ways you can participate in missions. You can go. There's a great need on the fields. You can pray. Every one of us can pray. And you can give. And that's the makeup of missions. We all can have a part in it. And then persistence. How many of you have talked to people? I hope you haven't seen it here, but you've talked to people. You've seen people who said, well, I used to be a Sunday school superintendent. I used to be a preacher. I used to teach Sunday school. Oh, I used to go to that church over there. Anybody ever heard that? I don't want to be a used to be. I don't want to be in that number. I want to burn out for Jesus. I want to live for Jesus every day. I want to live for Him and I want to die for Him. Persistence. Persistence. How can we do it? By everybody getting involved, everybody doing what they can, everybody getting right with God, getting involved, doing what they can for reaching people around us, our Jerusalem, our Judea, our Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth, doing all we can, every one of us doing all we can, and then just keeping at it. Just keeping at it. Read a story one time about a storm, a great snowstorm went through one of the northern countries, or states, and the city where it hit there said the fellow was walking down the sidewalk or street, and he noticed this little boy, just a young lad, and he was at the sidewalk shoveling in toward the doorway, and said the snow was about 2.5-3 foot deep. That little fellow had his sand shovel that you'd use at the beach, and he was shoveling snow. The fellow stopped and looked at him, watched him a minute, and he said, "Son, what are you doing?" The little fellow just kept, "I'm shoveling snow," and just kept shoveling. And he said, "Son, how in the world do you expect to move all the snow from right here to that doorway with that little shovel?" Said the little fellow, looked at him and said, "By keeping at it, we can do it." I'm telling you tonight, we can reach the world. We can reach the world. I believe with all my heart we can reach the world. If we just all get involved, all get our hearts right with God and all get involved and do what we can where we are, where God puts us, and just keep at it. At least we'll be able to say, or hear Him say, not say, but hear Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Father, thank you tonight for this good congregation, for their attentiveness, for this pastor, for the privilege he's given me speaking to his congregation. Thank you for his love for missions. I pray that you would bless them in a special way. I pray for Mount Pisgah, God, that you'd give us the funds that we need, $150,000 for 5 truckloads of paper. And we'll praise you, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.